What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Robin E, checking in for a brand new episode of Pillow Talk. And as always, I appreciate y'all for rocking with me like you do. If you have not subscribed to Pillow Talk, what are you doing? Go ahead and hit that subscribe button and lock in with me. Also, tune in with me on Facebook to see all of the live interviews, okay? They always live, always lit. Bringing you guys today a super, super dope episode with my soul sister, Miss Nayo Dez. Yes, an amazing songstress from New Jersey, okay? Relocated to San Antonio, Texas. I met her on the tour that I was recently on, and she just blew me away. Just an amazing woman. Someone of Haitian descent, she really does push her culture through with her music, and her plans for the future are brighter than the sun. Keep listening. New episode dropping right now. Check out Black Scotland, a Midwest-based Black-owned clothing brand rebelling in fashion. With both men's and women's clothing, their styles are sleek and unique. From hats to two-piece jogger sets and classic tees, Black Scotland can fit any fashion need. Dare to be a rebel with Black Scotland. Visit their website at blackscotland.com for more. Tap in with Black Creative Productions, a Black-owned media company focused at creating original and captivating media. From commercials to photo shoots to publications, we have all the tools that you need to build your business up. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Black Creative Productions to see all of the latest drops. Black Creative Productions, we are media.
My own lane, my own lane, my own lane. Gotta buy my
I just gotta stay own. In my lane. My own lane, my own lane, my own lane. Gotta buy my
I just gotta stay. I just.
It's a crazy game. Let me explain this ain't for the faint of the heart. Throw it box in my head and my soul starts links. I go for the sake of the art. Yeah, to me, hip hop is the most sacred favorite of arts. So you better believe sometimes I'ma take some shit to the heart. When someone wanna.
Back in the purple room with it. What's good, y'all? Pillow Talk Podcast. Y'all know it's been a minute. Shout out to Wear the Weird Ones Podcast. Y'all tuned in first. Gang. Okay. Yeah. Couldn't wait. What's up? Super excited to be back in the purple room. It's been a minute. Got an amazing guest in the building. Looking real royalty, like, you know what I'm saying? Miss Nayo Dez.
Yes. Hey, girl. It's Nayo Dez in the motherfucking building. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm excited.
Very excited to be here, girl.
Yes. Okay, we got to toast up real quick because y'all need to know we family right now at this point.
Yes.
We're like literally related now. So
we share a kidney.
It's been a lot.
I gave a kidney while we were on the tour.
No, but I'm excited to have you here. You're an amazing artist. You know, you create all of your own music. You have your own essence going on. Haitian goddess, always repping your culture, which is super, super dope.
Absolutely.
So let's first off, you know, get into a little bit about you, Miss Dez. So where are you from originally? Where are you from?
I'm originally from North New Jersey. Shout out to Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl forever in my soul. I'm originally born and raised in New Jersey, but my family, like you said, I'm Haitian. They're from Haiti, so you know I represent the Haitian people. Sak pase, se for me nula, mimir. So, you know what I'm saying? So I represent a lot, but, you know, I give it up to the Island Girls. That's why I wrote the song Island Girl before I skip all of that. But that's where I'm from. I'm from Jersey. I rep Jersey and I rep Haitian people. I'm a Haitian down to the zoo. That's the bone, if you didn't know.
Okay, just like that. And y'all feel the Jersey coming up out her, okay? Right. Y'all feel that coming up out her. Now, you grew up in the church.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of great legacy stories start, you know what I'm saying? So tell me a little bit about just growing up and how you kind of got more into your sound while you were, you know, going to church.
You know, what's so crazy? It's like I grew up in the church. I've been singing in church my entire life. My dad's a pastor, PK, right? But the problem, right, is that church kids, we're like stifled, you know, like we feel suffocated. We want to be our own person and, you know, explore the world and figure out who we are without the pressures of being told who we're supposed to be. So I feel like, you know, for every PK, for every church kid, you know, I'm the poster child. I'm, you know, I want to represent that, you know, especially Islander. If you was an Islander, you know, you if you was Haitian, you heard of HBO, Haitian Body Holder. We got picked on. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't the, you know, most popular, the most good looking, you know what I'm saying? They picked on us island kids. So I'm like, you know what? All we had was church shoes, you know what I'm saying? And we had choirs. So, you know, you pick up something. You got to be good at something. And when you find what you're good at, you know, that starts that whole journey of let me figure out who I am. Let me figure out what I'm supposed to do in this world. And I'm like, yeah, man, this is the time for that. This is absolutely the time for that. And it takes a while for us to figure that out. But yeah, this is the time. I want to represent the people that are not represented.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Can we get an applause? Aww. We love that.
Thank you.
We love that. Shout out to my mama. Shout out to Miss Tracy, always represented. She said, love her delivery. She said she loves your delivery.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that so much.
She coming real strong with her, mom. She coming real strong with it.
Mom approves. Mom, I'm her new friend. Okay.
Absolutely. No, but I love that. You have such a very strong presence. And, you know, it seems like you've always kind of known that you were destined, you know, for greatness, which I love about you as well. So what was the moment for you where you felt like, you know what, I'm finna do music. Like, I'm really about to take it serious. What was that moment?
Oh, you know what's crazy? I had that moment like 18 times. Like, because, like, you know what? Especially when you're like a musician that like have to start from like the bottom of, you don't even know where to start at type shit. You literally feel like you're in a sea. You know what I mean? And you're just like this one little fish. But you know what? It's like, you know, the butterfly effect. One thing that I do can affect, you know, a plethora of things that happen in this world. You just have to believe in that to be able to walk in your truth of that. So, you know, so for me, I think the very first time was when, like, I went to Atlanta. I think I was like 16. Mind you, I wasn't in art school yet, none of that stuff, but I was always singing in the church and stuff like that. I went to Mega Fest, T.D. Jakes was preaching, and then, you know, Yolanda Adams is coming. That's one of my music, one of my mentors. I love her. I love her so much. Kirk Franklin was there, and, excuse me, yes, I feel that Monaco. So, yeah, Kirk Franklin was there, and then I had an opportunity to sing in front of thousands of people on the stage next to Kirk Franklin, and he was coming out with, I don't know which album, you know what I mean? He had a million albums, and my voice was gone. When I said my voice was gone, I wanted to die because I knew that this is something that I love and I wanted to do my entire life up until that point, but I had no voice.
Yeah.
I was yelling, hooting, hollering, screaming. I was being a kid. Like, we was on like a retreat. It was a church retreat. And I'm standing right next to Kirk Franklin handing me the mic, and I'm like, I ain't got no voice. And instead of just being like, nah, I can't do it because I don't have a voice, I tried anyway. What? Big mistake. That was the biggest fucking mistake I ever made. I sounded like a straight up horse frog, man. If you could think of that combination, how would that sound? Nigga, I sounded bad. It was so bad that Kirk Franklin gave me a hug after.
Damn.
And he was like, it's all right. I know you really got it in there. That hurt
That's sad.
That hurt me so bad. Like, I was like, I'm a loser. And then not only that, I get back to the church retreat. I get back to the hotel room. And then, you know, I came with like 20 other kids. I came in there, creeped in there, heard them talking about me. She was like, she sang and it was terrible. And then everyone was like, oh, shit. And I'm like, damn, I'm a loser, yo. I'm a loser. But then I literally, you know, had my little Caucasian moment. And I went outside and I went and looked out into the stars and felt the breeze because I was in Atlanta, you know, everybody was everywhere and shit was crazy. And I was like, I don't care what I gotta do. This will never happen to me again. Mm. This will never happen to me again. And so fast forward, I had a moment again where I almost gave up on life. Like I was like, I was going through so much shit with my nursing license and I had a whole case. That's a whole nother story for another time. But I went to a free Donnie McClurkin concert and that's when I had another one, another moment like that, you know? And I got there. The whole story with that was Kirk Franklin, he was having his album recording at Holy Land in Orlando. And there was a big ass oil spill. So mad people couldn't go. But we found out about the oil spill before we left the house. So we was able to take a detour. We was the first people there. We was like, this is a real Donnie McClurkin concert. Because usually you can't find parking and shit. Yeah. Like usually it's packed in there. But there was like 20 cars. And we was like,
okay.
Did we get the time right? We went inside. There was like a few hundred people there. Mm-hmm. So we went to our assigned seats, was like 50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. They was like, security came to us and was like, listen, we need y'all to come and fill up the front row. Y'all beautiful. We want, you know, beautiful people to sit in the front and fill up the front row. And we was like, okay.
Okay.
Then he started singing and he was like, everybody come to the stage. I was like, Mika, come. Mika's my oldest sister. I was like, Mika, come with me. And she was like, no, this is for you. And I was like, okay.
I got to go. Because
why? Okay, what? Don McClurkin in the front. You feel me? I got to go. I'll talk to you after the show. We got to the front and he was like, close your eyes and start singing. You know, all that church stuff. And, you know, I'm a church girl. So I was like, I almost gave up on God. Remember, so I was going through stuff at the time. And then he started singing, oh, you got to let it go. Oh, you gotta let it go, let it go. Oh, and then I was like, yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm like, I gotta let it go. I was feeling it like on a deep level. Okay. I'm not even thinking about him no more. Like I'm like focused on God at this point because I was going through some shit. And I closed my eyes and I heard my voice, but then I heard that shit amplified. And I'm like, I peeked a little bit because I was still singing. And he was right in front of me with the mic. And I was like, oh, snap, let me close my eyes. If I open my eyes again, then he might take the mic away. And then I felt the mic touch my lip. Like, it was like. And then I was like, oh, that means take it. Okay. And so that video is on YouTube. And it's got like, I don't know, 77,000 views.
Nice.
Or whatever. And it was like one of those moments where I was like, I know this was for me. And this was my moment. It felt like a redemption moment from Kirk Franklin. Because this is the second famous person now that's a musician that's like, I get a chance to impress.
Yeah.
So I was like, and when I did that and I went home, well, I got in the car, my sister, she busted out crying. And I was like, why? And she was like, no, I know what you wrote today. And I was like, what did I write today? You read my shit? What you talk about? Like, we just had a wonderful night. And she was like, yeah, you wrote something like, and she was like, you wrote something like, will you always be a nurse? And God said, no. And I was like, how the fuck did you know that? We don't live together, nothing. And I went in my phone and my notes and I showed her and it was a dead ass question. I said, will I always be a nurse? And she cried even harder. And then that was like another moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is confirmation of everything that I already knew to be true about myself and my destiny and who I am.
Yeah.
And who I'm supposed to be. So I had so many moments. I can't pinpoint one, but I got stories. I got stories.
No, I love that. That's definitely motivating.
You know what that is? Yeah.
Like, that's super motivational. I mean, how can you not in that moment feel compelled? You know what I'm saying? Yes. That's super dope. Now, I got to shout out Andrew real quick. Big Drew, okay, Soul Sunday. So, he's the coordinator right there. He loved what he just heard. He like, yo. Okay, now, shout out to Lake County. She will be performing at Soul Sunday. Okay, yes. You guys, she's about to bring the fucking house down.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, she just gave y'all a little snippet. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? We really should have charged y'all a dollar for that.
A dollar, listen.
You know what I'm saying?
Donations. My Cash App is Nia's desk.
We should have put that up because you got that for free. But no, she's a fire, amazing, amazing artist. So definitely make sure you guys come out to Soul Sunday to see her. But no, I love it. I think that's amazing. I also love that you went to a performing arts high school.
Oh, yeah.
So if you could just sum up a little bit about your experience, how do you feel like that helped you, you know, be more in your artistry?
I get to talk about art school. Yay! Okay, sorry. I'm a big nerd, okay? Even though I'm in the arts, I'm also a registered nurse. So I'm big into science. I'm big into the arts. So stay in school, stop playing, go to college, whatever. Big ups. Don't think we just out here just struggling, ruggling.
Okay.
We actually have degrees out here. Stop playing. So, okay, so art school was amazing for me because I wish I would have spent.
And what's the art school?
Yeah, shout out to Osceola County School for the
Arts.
Shout
out, yeah.
Orlando, Florida, you know what I'm saying? / Kissimmee. We don't know which one is on the borderline. We don't really care. But shout out to Miss Testa. Shout out to Leonie. I love all y'all, JJ. Anyway, but yeah, so art school was like. It was like what you see in a high school musical, except black version.
I love it.
Mirror. I'm not gonna say we did have some white people, but they was down.
They was with it.
You know what I'm saying? So just getting into art school was like a whole, it just felt like one of those, you know, Hillary Duff type movies, Disney type stuff. You have to audition and, you know, show that you have the potential to be trained and, you know, whatever. And it was a really like profound experience for me because like, I think that's the first time that I like made like my first real friends. Like I said, I have like 2-3 people that I still talk to this day that we could pick up the phone and be like, like we're nerds, like we're weird. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, it just going through that experience because like I didn't have like a traditional college experience where I was like living in a dorm or a bunch of college parties, whatever. I had that shit in high school. Art school was lit. My art school against your art school. We was like stomp the yard type shit.
Okay.
We was like drumline. We literally, okay, so I was the Beyonce of the school.
Obviously.
I'm going to let you know.
Obviously.
You know, I got to be honest. I'm going to be honest. I was the, you know, president in my senior year, vocal, you know.
Okay.
So, I didn't get superior. I'm still salty. I got an excellent, but you go to states, you go to competitions, you go to all of this stuff. And the shit just seems so unreal at times.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the most challenging things in art school was learning to sing in different languages. That was like the most. Yeah, this Monica working on me. it was the most challenging thing to sing in Italian. What? As much as I love language, it was so hard.
And that was a requirement in order for you to like pass. You had to learn how to sing a language.
Hell yeah! Okay. You had to participate in county, and if you made it to state, and you know stuff like that, you could go further. We was in the all choir. We was in only the advanced singers got to go to this advanced choir that only had a certain amount of people and stuff like that. Like, we had our cliques. We were like the mean girl version of vocal. Like, pitch.
Like, pitch per.
Like, yeah.
Rare.
Like, we were very.
So you was queen HBIC. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I dead was. Okay. I dead was. They crowned me that. That's why it's easy to wear a crown.
Okay, I did it.
No, I was cool. It was cool. It's like,
nice.
Honestly, it was more fun than anything. I learned a lot. Singing opera was really hard. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about musicals. I love musicals.
Love them.
We got a chance to do that. You know, my class, I got a chance to go to New York and go see, you know, famous, you know, shows on Broadway and stuff like that. And I'm like, dang. And they recently had like a whole class reunion and you know, I didn't get to go because, you know, we were on tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, those are my roots.
Yeah.
Like, when I remember how I learned how to like properly breathe,
right,
or read notes. Like I was singing without knowing how to read notes. Mm. And that's why I'm like, shout out to Miss Testa, because she taught me how to read notes. And that's something that a lot of musicians don't know how to do. Like a lot of singers don't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of, if you do, that's a skill that's really good to have when you work with real professionals, like, you know, pianists and people that, you know, people that actually are professionals in the craft itself. You don't want to look like an amateur. So I feel like they really prepared me. And I got a chance to perform with Disney through my school.
Nice.
So I did Disney Candlelight. There was thousands upon thousands of people that came to see us sing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I was exposed to being in front of large crowds and performing and all of that, you know, through high school.
Yeah.
So it's like that really kind of refined my, even the way I approach my own music right now.
Yeah.
I use a lot of the techniques that I still, that I learned then still today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's crazy.
Okay. So no, that's dope though. I love that. I think that's amazing. Like being in a performing arts school and being able to go to fucking, well, perform for Disney and just travel and get that experience, mm-hmm, and really like, you know, give you that like encouragement to want to really push your dreams. It's easy to get like discouraged after high school, like, yeah, with whatever dream you have. So that's good. I think that's dope. Yeah. I would have loved to have been a part of the musical life.
No, for real. It's dope. It's,
I would
dope
have loved it.
I think as an artist, literally as a musician, even if you're not an artist, like a singer or, mm-hmm, whatever, just being a musician, you just want to see yourself grow.
Yeah.
You want to see yourself progress. So I had gotten to Berklee College of Music and I had the one, the Diana Ross scholarship to go there. And my parents, nice, didn't let me go.
What?
Yeah, that was like one of my things that I'm like, shucks, man.
So was it, is it more so like a cultural thing? Your parents felt like it was what? Like not?
Yeah, man. Like they're girls. They're really tight. Like, I don't know for every Islander out there, but in Haitian culture, the girls, they don't want y'all to really go nowhere. They want y'all to stay close to home. They want to, you know, like, I wore skirts until I was, like, 18. Like, I wore my first pair of jeans, my first pair of pants when I was 16. My parents were really strict. I got my ears pierced when I was 18. You know, so, like, I'm a rebellious. I had to put the pack of weave in the bed with the pillows and then the socks and lock the door from the inside and jump out the window. Like, I'm one of them. I'm one of those. I had to, like, rebel. Like, I was in a box. So it's like I represent that kid that's, like, quiet, but she's really a rock star in her bedroom type shit.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure. Ooh. Them parents, though, they'll
they
do it to strict. You. They'll do it to you.
They are strict.
The
and
parents
I
will
understand.
Do it to you.
And but I'm not strict with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I let their dad be the bad guy. I'm the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the good guy. Because the thing is, I feel like kids really need, you know, the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being strict because the kids obviously need discipline and understanding and stuff like that. But they need to be able to let loose, or else they're gonna still find a way to let loose.
Yeah, for sure. So, for sure.
Nah,
You're not wrong.
I definitely want to represent the kid that don't get to speak up because they might get slapped up. Like, I want to represent the kid that feels like they've been suffocated in their youth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I used to listen to a lot of rock songs growing up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I watched Degrassi. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely was lit.
Like, I used to listen to, you know, Linkin Park and all of them. Like, I understand that. This is just my version of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I can't rock like that.
So then,
what
describes your music then? If you're representing that kid that's, you know, a rock star in the room, then how would you kind of, like, describe your sound to us?
Like, I feel like my sound is a combination of, like, some Disney fun sprinkled with some neo-soul, sprinkled with some R&B. Because I do want my music to resonate with people that are my age, but I don't want to discount the kids that are coming up because I have kids. I have three. So when they listen to my music, they want to dance. They're excited. They can sing along.
Mm-hmm.
But also I find that a lot of adults, like, they really, you know, because they're looking at the lyrics, they're looking at, you know, how it makes them feel, how they can relate to it. Kids, they kind of more so go with the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, I can't pretend to be something I'm not. I'm not a rocker. But at the same time, the soulful sounds that I do have, I feel like if I can keep some type of modernness to where I can still connect to kids and still be connected to adults. And that's what I would describe my sound. You know what I mean? Because I want to be able to float in that in between, you know, because my kids love Island Girl.
Yeah.
You know, but also when I've had the song played in the club, the girls getting up because they're like, yeah, I'm from Barbados. I'm from Jamaica. Yeah. I'm from wherever. I'm an Island Girl too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. All of y'all are. So I'm like, I want whenever I do my music to be inspiring and inclusive. So that's why I don't like to even use too many pronouns or whatever. Even in that love song, Cherie, I try to leave it as, you know, unison as possible, because I'm like, I don't want to exclude anyone. But at the same time, I still want you to know who I am through this sound.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I love that. Yeah. And Island Girl is an amazing track.
I love that
definitely.
Song.
Like, that's an amazing track. Cherie is great as well. Like, you got a nice plethora of music. We love it. We love it for sure.
Yay.
So, I mean, what is your song writing process like? Like, what gets you in the mode to start writing something?
You know what? It's so crazy because I feel like if any time can be writing time for me. But there are specific songs and sounds that trigger me. Like, I could literally, like, when I heard Island Girl instrumental, I wasn't really particularly in a writing mood. It was just, you know, my friend just kept playing a whole bunch of beats. And then when Island Girl played, I literally heard the lyrics of Island Girl in my head. Like, it literally, like, was a download. It felt like I was receiving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to record this. And it wasn't like, I don't like to do a lot of pre-writing, because for me, I find it harder to put lyrics to a sound because I already have a sound in my mind. And it's a needle in a haystack. But when I have a sound, then I'm like, and I get downloads and lyrics can come. That makes it easier for me. So when I heard Island Girl's instrumental, I'm like, okay, let's start. And then I started recording it right away. I didn't just like write the lyrics and then sit on it for a day or two and, you know, practice it or whatever. I just wrote it right then and there and recorded it the way I heard it. Because if I don't, I feel like I'm going to lose that initial sound that it was supposed to be. So I just want to get it done right then and there. And people don't like to work me in a studio because I want to finish.
Wow.
Because it's, I noticed that a
y'all
lot of
don't like finishing in a studio.
Yo, producers, okay, I'm gonna be real. Producers, they get tired of working on the same thing for a prolonged period of time. So it's like, you know, you can lose their interest, especially towards the editing phase, like where they got to like take out the breaths and cut in this and paste this and put this over here. And like, no, that don't sound right. Put the reverb on that. Put the echo. I like the echo because I'm picky. I know what I like. I know what the sound it is. So I was like, I was having to like pay more money, bribe them because they, you know, it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yo, I'm not leaving without this track. Like, I want you to finish because I've lost so many songs. Just be like, yo, we're going to finish that shit tomorrow. Yo, that shit was hot. Tomorrow. Brrr, where you at? Oh, yeah. I'm at work. I'm going to holler at you. All right. Brrr, 2 weeks later. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Doing
it's
too
like,
much.
It's so hard to catch these niggas. So I'm like, nigga, well, I got you right here. Let's finish it right now. And then, nigga, I'll slide you another $100. Please, nigga, I just need this by tomorrow. Nigga, I got a performance. Nigga, I want to practice. I like this song. Stop playing. Like, I need to finish this. So it was stuff like that. But
okay.
I always get my songs. I always get my shit when I'm done. I'm not playing with y'all. Playing with these.
I am dead. No, I love knowing that you quick with it. At least you get in there and you knock it out for sure. Like,
oh, yeah,
you get it done. You get it knocked out for sure. I love that. But the vibe is definitely bigger than life. When you perform, you know, on stage, you also, you know, bring that same type of energy. So you're never scared. Stage fright, that's obsolete for you.
Oh, my God. Listen, I feel like, let me tell you something. There was a time when Nia Dez was just Naomi. I was Naomi D before I came up with Nia Dez. Nia is my childhood name. I never explained it. So Nia is my childhood name. Everybody called me Nia. Nia. So, and Dez, my brother, legally changed his last name to Dez. Our last name is Dez So, But in English, everybody just say Desiree. In school, they call me Desisex. I don't know what they call me, Desisaurus. They call me all types of weird names because our name is like 13 letters. It's long.
Okay.
So my brother was like, let me change. I'm changing my name. So he changed his name to John Dez. So I'm like, yo, I'm changing my name, yo. They like, nah, that's fine, yo, that's mine. I'm like, you cut out the wheel, nigga. You're not even in the wheel no more, nigga. You changed your last name. I always crack on him for that, but I always loved that last name. And legally, it's ours, so I got it registered and everything. And so I put it together, and that's Nio Dez. So I'm like, I want y'all to call me what I identify as, not the name that y'all gave me, even though that'll always be my government name. But Nio Dez is the name that I gave myself. And I feel like you should be able to name yourself. Once you start to grow into who you are, you should be able to be like, I want to be called this. If this girl could grow up and be like, listen, I feel like I'm a boy, I want to be a boy, and she's able to become a boy, I should be able to at least tell you what to call me. You know what I'm saying? Don't call me out my name. Call me Nio Dez. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We can get applause for that. Love that. Now, you are independent artist. You're doing everything on your own. And you did recently go on tour.
Yes.
We recently went on tour, but it was a lot. It was a lot that went on. So, obviously, without giving too much detail, or however you seem fit, how do you feel like the tour went? Like, as an independent artist, like, how important is it for a tour to be right?
Okay, so that's a loaded question, ma'am. It's really loaded.
It's a lot.
Because, like, I'm a professional, but I also got a motherfucking attitude. So what I'm going to tell y'all is this nigga came and he stole our motherfucking money. This nigga, Michael Fort, look him up. He's a fucking scam artist, okay? And he scammed me and seven other motherfucking artists that paid him thousands of dollars to pay for transportation and lodging to get us around the motherfucking country to do this tour. And his little DJ, I think his name is Douglas William Hem, whatever the fuck his last name is. Look them motherfuckers up. They con artists. They over here scamming people. And I need to let y'all know I'm nice, but I'm also sour. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm transparent. Okay? I need y'all to know the truth. People scam out here. And as an independent artist, you really got to be careful. But they gonna get sued. Trust and believe. Okay? Trust and believe they will be touched in their pockets. Because I'm getting my money back.
So that's a summary.
That was my spiel,
basically, of that portion. But
on that side,
outside of that, you were able to perform by the Hollywood sign. it had to be said.
I
co-signed everything she said, but she named.
I skipped over the good stuff.
Y'all go ahead and look that up because it really did happen.
So, Michael Fort, the man's really name is happen. Michael Fort. That make sure really you happen. Look him up. He has previous cases of scamming people. He's really good at it.
Besides that,
outside of that monstrosity, it was a wonderful experience to go to these places that I've never been. Yes. Like the Hollywood sign. Like I was so happy we got to go to the Hollywood sign, even though it was a really long drive. It was well worth it because it was so nice how close we got the shots that we got. I mean, that video, beautiful, delicioso.
Shout out to Calvin West.
Shout out to Calvin.
Shout out to Calvin West.
Calvin West is the best. You heard me. If you need something done, you want to look like a movie, hit this nigga up. He's amazing. For real, for real. But, you know, getting to perform at the Grand Canyon, I had never been to the Grand Canyon before. And I'm like, I just feel like a tiny little peon, you know, in comparison to the vastness of the earth. Like, it just felt like it just kept going and going and going and going. And then there were so many people from Turkey and from where else?
Like Japan.
They were from all over
the place.
I was like, I would have never met you, lady, if I didn't come on this experience. So outside of that, I met seven other amazing artists. I got to meet you. I got to meet Calvin. Like, I met some dope people And, you know, I feel like out of everything, maybe, you know, that was God's purpose for me to meet my new friend.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, like, that's enough for me. Because at the end of the day, we wasn't doing it for money.
Right.
We was doing it to really just put our music out there, put ourselves out there, right. put the brand that we put together and been working hard on out there for other people to, you know, tune into us, right. to figure out who we are and what we're about and what we're trying to do and what our message is.
Right.
So it's really important for like the takeaway to be like, I'm a real person that actually really cares about people. Mm-hmm. And you know, my years of service as a nurse, you know, in a Black community, I'm just like, I love our people and mm-hmm. I just want to see ourselves elevate, you yeah. know? So as I elevate, I want to, you know, have my community with me. And it's like, how can you do that if you don't go out into the community?
Right.
So I cannot wait to do another tour, mm-hmm. a legitimate tour.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do, you know, and be able to travel the country, even go overseas. They need to hear us out in Japan and stop playing. Like they need to hear us all over the world. And as an independent artist, what I learned is we can literally, that's the whole point of being independent. Mm-hmm. We can literally figure out a way to do this without big corporate business or Big Brother hovering over us or like controlling us in any way. Mm-hmm. We can literally take control of our own careers. Mm-hmm. That's what being an entrepreneur is. So I'm like, all right, now I'm just learning how to be the creative and the business person. It's right. so hard to have a balance, but that's something that I'm learning every single day. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to drink to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit. Went through all that shit with these scamming ass motherfucking niggas. You know what I'm saying? Might as well.
Because it was overall the time we spent a good experience, and I like she said, those are moments that I'm going to
cherish,
you know, keep and just have with me. The Hollywood sign, you know, the Grand Canyon, Phoenix, Arizona. It was definitely a good time. It was a good time had by all until the fuck shit happened.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah. So outside of that, you know, you're still obviously doing your music. You're performing. Yes. You did a performance the other night in Chicago.
Chicago.
So, I mean, how did it feel, you know, kind of being back on stage after kind of dealing with the tour shit?
Yeah, like, honestly, I'm like on cloud nine. Like, I'm so happy. Like, I got a chance to really, you know, be in front of a real crowd that was ready to be entertained. Like, you know, I was so excited just to be there. Like, their stage, their whole setup was really nice. I liked their setup. Their stage made me feel like I was back in Hollywood, you know? But to be real, like, just being able to experience that on my own outside of, you know, performing with other people as a part of the tour or whatever, it just felt right. You know what I mean? You ever have do something and it just feel fucking right? It just feel right. Like, listen, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Type shit. Like, that's what it felt like for me. It felt like I'm at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
So I had a great time. I love Chicago already. I love the outskirts. I love all of y'all. Y'all cool out here. And y'all food is the bomb. Let me tell you something. I ate some food, right? And it put me to sleep. Y'all stop playing Chicago, Mimir.
The food.
Shout out to the food.
Shout out to the food.
I don't even know the name of the restaurant. I apologize, but y'all put me to sleep. Y'all gave me the itis. Like, this, it's real.
It's really the feel.
What?
It's really the feel. Shout out to Chicago. No, I love that though. And yeah, you definitely tore the house down. I do have your IG scrolling on the screen. So if you guys have not checked out her page, definitely check that out. Check out some of her live performances. I mean, they're just super dope. You know what I'm saying? Super, super dope. Now, we got to get into a little bit of trivia because, you know what I'm saying? Me and my nigga Dez, you feel me? We didn't spend a lot of time together. And what's crazy is we were binging Tubi earlier, and we were just like rating niggas and shit on Tubi.
Oh, yes.
So it's crazy right now. You know, it's this whole talk conversation of big dick energy, right? Niggas be feeling like they got big dick energy. It's a thing. It's not a thing. Whatever the case may be.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I give a disclaimer? I'm not fucking playing. I'm gonna give y'all a disclaimer. I don't do small dicks. If you got a small dick, shout out to you. I'm not prejudiced.
Okay, so what's a small dick, Des?
I think anything under 6 inches is a small penis. If you got less than 6 inches, then you are classified under the small penis. And before all of the men go ahead and say, oh, then your pussy must be big, though. First of all, you hating. It's not that big. Trust me. I had 3 C-sections. None of the kids came through there. So what's your excuse? All I'm saying is, if you got a small dick, shout out to you. But
not really, though, because you're saying you're not going to get any TikTok with the small dick.
No, not with me. I mean, you might get played, just not with me. But all I'm saying is, I feel like a big dick man has a confidence that a little dick man cannot reach. Mm. You understand? Just same thing. Like, in size, he cannot reach. So the confidence, he cannot reach. So men with a big dick.
Mr. Muwagi.
You can't wash off and wash on. You can only wash in the middle.
Oh, fuck.
I'm just saying, like, it doesn't need to be ginormous.
Just Adam, decent. Just decent. Decent
that.
Size.
She's like, I like them big. She's like, I like them ginormous. Yes. Like, they just have to be average too big. Yeah. You understand?
Decent size.
Who back you gonna blow out with that, you know, being a sausage? Like, who you're not gonna do anything with that. There's a disease called micropenis. Listen, I'm a nurse. Listen to me. I'm a medical professional. I'm telling you the truth. I know the average size of penises. I've seen a lot in my career. All right. All I'm saying is, if you have a small penis, you get no play. That's all.
With that being said, let's get to the list of possible big dick energy, you know, that's floating around. This is interesting because big dick energy transcends through, you know, dimensions and shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all about to see right now. First up, we got Batman.
Batman.
Does Batman give big dick energy?
I have to ponder that. Well, I mean, he's rich.
Okay.
Let's go with the criteria.
Okay, let's check that off.
Let's look at the context clues.
Let's check that off.
He's rich, but he flies around in a cape.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually have superpowers.
Not really.
But he can fight.
Can fight.
I think he's fighting all that aggression because he got a small dick.
I think Batman got a small dick
because he got all that money. He don't need to do that shit. He's doing it for free. All right. He flying around in a cape, a grown man in a cape. You know what I'm saying? He don't got no real power. So what's the cape supposed to represent? You know what I'm saying? And then he go around fighting people.
Interesting.
Aggression due to shortcomings. Mimir.
Interesting. You know what? I'm going to take that because that's actually a very good explanation.
I think so. I think that's a great explanation.
I think that's pretty valid. Yeah. We're gonna go with that.
I don't think we can verify that.
Batman got the little dick energy coming up off him. Mm. Next up, we got Morris Chestnut. Ricky, Boys in the Hood.
Oh, Boys in the Hood.
That's Morris right there. Lord, Best man, Morris Chestnut. Now he's bald head, but
this isn't even fair.
It's just because he's older.
This isn't even fair.
It's just because he's older.
You know why this is not fair? Because I'm a sucker for the chocolate man.
Okay? I just feel like the dick is big. That's just how I feel.
He give off.
That's just how I feel about it.
He plays lead roles too as a leading man.
He is. He's always playing some lead shit. He gives very big dick energy for me. It's that. And then he aging so good. So, you know, he take care of himself. Whether or not the woman is in the picture, you feel me? Niggas don't be taking care of themselves sometimes when they don't give a fuck.
That's true.
When they don't give a fuck, it's just like.
Let me tell you something. Be real.
Y'all don't be washing and shit.
From my personal experience, bald, in shape niggas usually got big dicks.
Usually?
Like, I'm sorry. I don't know if a lot of that.
Usually.
Because I had a bald man and that man was packing.
I have not had a bald man.
I have had a bald man.
I feel like that's the energy.
It's like playing with a bowling ball.
Definitely big dick energy. Okay. Next up, we got Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. First of all, I think Flavor Flav got big dick energy because, first of all, ugly nigga. Number one. Number two, he got all these bitches coming to the clock house trying to win his heart and coming back and delicious looking like a brand new bitch. He spent a lot of money on that hoe. He got big dick energy.
Okay.
I think he got Big Dick Energy. He got that white lady still coming back after all Bridget, these years.
Yeah, she's still coming back.
She keep coming back. She's still coming back. I love Flavor Flav.
And the nigga got about 100 kids.
He do got mad kids.
The nigga got mad. You gotta have Big Dick Energy, bro, to have all them kids. Little real shit. Real shit.
I don't know if that's real, but don't.
But it makes sense. But at the same time, you gotta think about all the women that's willingly bending over for that dick, right, like that. Like, come on now. It's one thing to fuck, but you continuously going back. You done got caught up. You done got knocked up. You was getting cracked. Seriously. Like, seriously. You was going back.
And he a skinny nigga. A lot of skinny niggas got big dicks. That's a fact. Me and Mirror.
Flavor Flav, you got big dick energy. Now big we know. Energy. Now we know what I the love of Flav.
No. Sorry, Flav.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's still a no.
I wouldn't do it.
It's absolutely still a no. Okay, next up, Soulja Boy.
Okay. He talked too much shit not to have a big dick. I'm sorry. He talked too much shit not to have a big dick. Mm. He literally gives me, I'll crack your back and tell everybody about it and you'll be proud.
He definitely seemed like a snitch about telling people he cracked you.
I really feel like he would. I feel like if somebody would tell. If he had a small dick, we would know that shit by now. Because he talked too much shit. He's very vocal. He's very vocal in the community. I feel like if he did, somebody would have told by now. I think so.
Interesting.
He's a loudmouth.
All right, Soldier, you're a little off, but you're giving big dick energy, and apparently. Skinny, so that's good. You know, that always is like a plus on the big dick barometer.
I'm saying if you got that much confidence
on the big dick barometer,
have a big dick, I feel sorry for you.
That's a lot of niggas, though. Okay, that's
no conversation. Oh, wow, you're right.
Okay, next up, RIP Prince.
Prince?
I ain't gonna hold you. I think that nigga had a big dick.
Really?
I really do, fam. The way that women was fawning over Prince, I just think he was doing some real orgy, extravagant shit.
Really?
I really do. Prince seemed like the type of nigga that's gonna give you a psychedelic and then fuck the shit out your ass.
He does seem like,
you know what I'm saying? He got the velvet sheets and shit. R.I.P. again, because I love
R.I.P. R.I.P. Prince.
No disrespect.
You're the best that ever done it.
No disrespect. Like, no disrespect.
I feel like he could give you like the most sensual, intimate experience of your life while on a psychedelic. But I feel like he had an average penis. The only reason why I don't feel like he had a small dick, I just feel like he didn't have like a really big dick because the outfits he was wearing, you know what I'm saying?
It kind of
cupped everything.
That don't matter.
I want to see a third leg.
I think it was that. And the nigga was a hooper. The nigga was raw as hell. That nigga was raw as hell at basketball, G. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The nigga was, fuck you talking about? With the blowout.
I could be wrong.
That's a different type of confidence you got to give to go out on the court with the blowout and do some niggas. I'm sorry.
And
then go fuck a bitch after that.
Like, he was pretty and sexy and handsome at the same time.
And he always had a beautiful woman. Always. Okay, you know what? RIP. Shout out that man. Okay, next up, Rick Ross. I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel. And the only reason I threw him on the roster is because Rick Ross, sometimes he give me big dick energy, but then I don't know. It could just be a facade because he's rich at this point. But it's the way that he be doing little shit, the way that he be talking about things. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, Rick Ross gives me fat and thick. You know, like he
gives, it's the smack of the lips.
You know, like, not dead ass. Like, he give me now because, you know, Juicy count.
That count. Girth counts.
Like, if you could feel all my crevices, I feel like he's a feel all my crevices.
I feel like. I don't feel like it's, you know, long. I feel like it's wide.
I don't think I will have any complaints. That's what I'm saying.
He fuck around, feed your ass after he's done.
Type shit.
He'll fuck around and feed you after he's done. After he's done. Then he fuck around and feed you after
like
he's done.
Like, the way he care about his cows and his trees and shit.
Real shit.
That he really could do some.
I feel
like he has big dick energy. Yeah. I think he does.
The radar.
I think he does.
I agree. I'm not going to hold you. Okay, next up we got Johnny Bravo.
Listen. Johnny Bravo gets small dick energy. Let me tell you why Johnny Bravo gets small dick energy. First of all, his shoulders is bigger than his waist. Second of all, his motherfucking glasses is cooler than him. Third of all, his hair is cooler than him. Third of all, like, he literally is so smooth. I feel like he always used his charisma and never really had to use his penis. Mm-hmm. If you watch Johnny Bravo.
Facts. So.
But I feel like he gives all the energy. Not because he's Caucasian, y'all. Not because of that, even though I've had experience with Caucasians and they use a little. But I think it's just because his overall swag gives I'm hiding something.
I agree. I think the dick is very small. It's giving very small, very inerect, very dysfunctional.
No, seriously. I feel like it's definitely giving.
Like,
not giving.
And the fact that, and he seems like a quick pumper, the fact that he's so adamant about every woman he encounters, he can't even wait to really, like, you know, wine and dine. It's always a quick, I need that right now. And I just feel like, you a quick pumper, you nut fast.
No, for real. It literally, I think that's what it is.
I know a few niggas like that.
Of course.
I know a few niggas. Last but not least, Lorenz motherfucking Tate. It's big dick energy for me. It's big dick energy for me.
You should add another one because he don't count.
All day. All day.
Automatic. We know that.
All day.
We got to put one in question.
It's all day. I don't know. Now, I mean, back in the day, you know, there was a picture of Chris Brown that got leaked.
You know Chris Brown got a big dick. Stop playing.
He definitely got big dick energy.
He definitely got big dick energy.
And I'm just Rihanna wondering. Would have
been with him that long.
And I'm just wondering, out of all the fan pictures, like, is anybody feeling that dick? Is anybody thinking about feeling Chris Brown's dick when they take these pictures?
Hell to the yeah, especially, you know, the people that's paying $1,000 for his.
You got bitches sitting on this nigga lap.
Paying $1,000 for the meet and greets. Yeah. They definitely rubbing on.
They
them.
Getting a feel? You think they getting a feel?
I would get a feel. I mean, I would get a feel.
Now, do you think Chris Brown is cracking any of these women he taking pictures with?
I don't think so.
This
think
is pure conversation, by the way. Chris Brown, I love you.
I love you too. I love you to me, Mirror. I feel like he's beyond that point, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he's been through enough shit. And, he got so many, you know, I don't think he would do that to a fan. Unless they paid a little extra. I don't know.
Okay. That's true.
It's all right.
Mirror. No, but definitely give it up for, okay, Miss Dez. She did her thing on the big dick energy. You know what I'm saying? We love to see it. Now, as we move on, you know, more into 2022, you know, the year is flying by.
Yes.
What else do you have kind of up your sleeve? Like, what are some things that you want to kind of do before the year is over?
Well, you know, I did only one festival last year. So going into the new year, I definitely want to be able to do that. I want to participate and be more active with the festival circuit. So I'm trying to get into that. But next year, I got a whole bunch of stuff planned. I definitely plan on going overseas. That's a big thing for me. Because, you know, being able to be an international independent artist is like something that you want to add to your resume.
Yeah.
You want to be able to know that your music transcends into other different cultures, and people that speak different languages, they still can feel the energy that you bring.
Right.
They can still see, you know, the quality of your entertainment. Like, you're literally putting yourself out there to people that don't speak your language.
Mm-hmm.
And so being from another culture, I respect other cultures. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to go to different places and learn a bit about them and learn about what their struggles are and kind of relate to them and try to show them that there are other people from a different place that actually cares. And this is the way that I want to show my love to people that, you know, I normally wouldn't be able to reach.
Right.
So it's a big deal for me to continue to progress, continue to spread the music as to as many places as I can.
Yeah.
I spread myself thin for music. I spread myself thin for my passion because I know that there's a greater purpose in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of my message of just encouraging people, just knowing that you know, there is a greater purpose in life for everyone, not mm-hmm. just for me, because I'm talking about it, but for anyone and everyone that's watching, for people that will hear me in the future, you know, that you have a purpose. You just need to be willing to see it. And sometimes it's scary, but I'd rather go through hell knowing that on the other side, my purpose, therein lies my purpose, than to go through life purposeless and not knowing what I'm supposed to do, who I'm right. supposed to touch, what I'm supposed to be saying and, you know, doing. So just really tap into who you are. And the best way to do that is knowing that you have a creator. So I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm a pastor's kid, but I still believe in creation. I still believe in the creator. So I feel like we are co-creators of our lives, because the decisions that we make, you know, directly influence some of the outcomes that we have. But just know that there's a God somewhere. Just know that there's somebody that cares about you, even if you don't have a physical person that cares about you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The message is deeper. It's more than the skin. You know what I mean?
It Absolutely. Goes deeper than that. Yes. I love that. Yeah. See, she's dropping the gems for us, y'all. She's dropping the gems for us. Now, before you know you go, I definitely want you to just tell me a little bit more about kind of like the issue you've had as far as like Haitian radio and like getting your music, you know, kind of played in that realm, which I felt was very interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the struggles that you've dealt with kind of getting, you know, that recognition from your culture?
Yeah, I've gotten so much love from my city, from Jersey, from Newark. You know, I've gotten, you know, some love from some of the radio stations and some of the promoters out there. But for some reason, you know what I mean? Like, I was born in America and I was raised in Jersey. And so, like, the Haitian culture, especially in Haitian music, it's like a really small, like, community. So it's not like there's like a lot of artists. Mm-hmm. But if you don't sing in Creole, then you're not considered a Haitian artist.
Okay.
And so if you're not considered a Haitian artist, Haitian radios don't want to spin you. Because they feel like, well, this is not our music. This is American. Like, mm-hmm. you're American. You speak in English. So when I wrote Cherie, I kind of felt like this was my way of kind of like saying, hey, I respect my culture and I still want to represent. You know, and that's why even in Island Girl, I had Haitian flag bikini. I had a Haitian flag dress on, because I'm like, y'all, these are my people. This mm-hmm. is my culture. These are my ancestors. My father and my mother are Haitian people. Mm-hmm. So I'm Haitian. But the community doesn't like really identify me that way. I'm a Haitian American. Mm-hmm. So they kind of see me as more American than Haitian. So they don't really feel like, you know, I'm really part of their community because I wasn't born and raised right. in Haiti.
Okay.
And I've been to Haiti, and Haiti is like, you know, it's really beautiful. It has beautiful land, beautiful ocean, beautiful sights to see. But when I went to go see my family, you know, like there's a lot of poverty. Like I could see through their roof, like, you know, through their ceiling. So mm-hmm. I could see the sky. Like concrete is the ground.
Yeah.
When they get flooded, you know, they got to move on to another place. So when I saw that shit, and I saw, like, I was like, Mom, why are there pigs on the side of the road? The pigs is eating the trash. So it's like, this is how y'all get rid of y'all trash? Like, y'all let mm-hmm. the pigs eat it up. And then when the pigs are nice and fat and full, y'all kill the pigs and eat y'all eating trash.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, as an American, like, yeah, I'm in America. We got a lot of rights and, you know, there's a lot of control and politics and all this other stuff, all these other things that come into play of living an American life. And then I go to Haiti and I see the type of life that live there. And I'm like, yo, I want to be an influence on the people that made it possible for me to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents was illegal before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to work. My mom worked as a maid for 5 years to get her green card.
Mm.
So my family started from shit. Like, they came on a boat for real type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now we all legal and shit like that. But it's like, they escaped that life to give me a better one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, I don't know if everybody has that story, but I know there's a lot of people that have that story that I could even be in a position that I'm in right now to be a nurse, to be an artist, to be traveling,
yeah.
to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people made a crazy ass sacrifice to say, like, I'm leaving home and I'm going to a whole nother country. I don't speak the language and I'm a figure this shit out because I want my kids to have a better opportunity in life. I can't squander that shit. Everything I do for my culture. Everything I do for my ancestors.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when I get my opportunity, I'm going to go back over there. Like, even though y'all don't accept me 100% because I wasn't born and raised here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to still show you guys love because I'm going to show you that this is what y'all made. Y'all made me.
Nice.
I represent y'all, even if y'all don't want me to.
Yes, let's clap it up. Clap it up for that for sure. Definitely. Definitely. No, I love it. I think that's really remarkable just to be able to be that other extension of your culture. And, you know, hopefully other people will also take that in consideration to be a representative of their culture, too. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So we've been chopping it up, y'all. It's been real, you know, on the show. We definitely talked about a lot of stuff. Before you go, definitely just make sure you let us know where we can tap in with you, tune in, stream, everything.
Yes, you guys can find me on IG at Nayodez, N-A-Y-O-D-E-Z. You can find me on Facebook, if you're nice, at Naomi D. And you can find me on YouTube at Nayodez as well, if you want to stream or download any of my music, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music. You can find it on Tidal. You can Snapchat. You can find my stuff if you want to tag it on your little, you know, post your reels or whatever. And you can find me on Tidal and anywhere you can find music. Anywhere you could Shazam that sucker if you heard it somewhere, you feel me? It's anywhere, it's registered everywhere. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes,
I loved it. I need to play more big energy.
Appreciate y'all. Everybody tuned in. Shout out to everybody that commented, shared, hearted, liked. Shout out to y'all for supporting Pillow Talk Podcast, man. We back in this bitch, back in the purple room. So I appreciate everybody. Mama, I love you. You're a real one.
Hey.
Make sure y'all tune in next week. I got more guests coming on Pillow Talk Season 3 and going nowhere, man. Peace out.
Bye.